Are we having times of refreshing? Come on now, times of refreshing. You know, I was talking to you earlier on about how to receive. And I'm impressed on my heart to talk more about that. How to receive. There's a how to receive. And the reason why, you know, there are many miracles in the Bible. There are many things God does in the Bible. But sometimes the writer singled out. Why do they single out individual stories? So that you will know how. You know, you know how. For example, I told you earlier on that one of the ways you could get off track in the things of the Spirit is to hear the wrong things, the wrong conversations. The conversation between Satan, Satan is fine, the serpent and Eve led to sin. You try to listen. Let me try and understand. Understand what? You know, I told you years ago, a few days ago when I got born again. I'm a very young man. And I had this man who was a godfather to me. You know those godfathers that your parents picked for you, or they picked you by themselves, one way or the other. I was just chosen. But I liked him, really. He was a very influential Nigerian, internationally known. He was my dad's friend. So he was a great godfather, mentor. As a young boy, I was. So when I got born again, he found out I was saved. So he engaged me. He said, I hear you are now a Christian. You're now born again because he was a Christian. In fact, I don't want to give you the idea of his church, but he was a leader in his church. Not because he's born again. Because he has the necessary things to lead in that place. So he now said, what does it mean to be born again? Now, I didn't even know. So he started to explain to me some things I'd never read in my Bible. And my Bible then was this, do you know this green Bible that they drew tree? RSV. If you have that kind of Bible, you're in trouble. Not because it's RSV, because the color. Now don't think that's a joke. So he now began to ask me questions. Ah! He said, do you know where Jesus went to when he was two? I said, because I'd acted it before. So I said, Egypt. He said, for what? I said, I don't know. He now began to tell me some things that Jesus went to do in Egypt that I was not aware of. Even Jesus did not know. So he was telling me those things and I was saying, hey? He said, why do you think he used, and not this one, the parable of the corn? He said, do you know what he was trying to say? He now showed me something from another book that I was not supposed to even read. That you see the corn here? That's what he was saying. So I was quiet. He belonged to a particular group of people. You know, a group, a spiritual body. So I was confused. Now, so he told me, go and read this one, go and read that one. But I knew in my heart, no, I'm born again. I didn't plan to be born again. So I didn't orchestrate the born again experience. So I was too sure I had eternal life. But I could not explain it. You know, so I just left him. I didn't take the book stylishly. I didn't say, I'm not taking the book in Jesus' name. No. I just didn't take it. I just found a way around it. I didn't collect the books. I went away. And I began to grow. You see, some of us try to handle what we cannot handle. I told one brother one day, I said, you are reading. Now I told him, I said, I saw something about Kenneth Hagin. Now I'm not a curious person. I'm never curious. I don't, sometimes people ask me, do you know this pastor? I say, how many do I want to know? The ones I know, I've not even known them. I don't even know their middle name. Did you know this person? I can't know everybody in the body of Christ. You know? People that go around, whatever you're looking for, you see. So I said, you know, and I'm not curious, but I saw this article. Someone just sent it to me. I usually don't open things like that. So I opened it. I began to read and I read and read and read. And somehow, I'm not boasting, but when it comes to conviction, I don't joke with it. I began to be confused. No. Unsettled. So I told this brother, said, if me, who taught you the word of God, can avoid something, you are being stupid if you don't avoid it. He didn't listen. Till he lost everything he had. Sometimes you think you are trying to control them. Don't you need control? Okay, imagine if there's no control here. Everybody just gets up. Particularly Chelsea fans. I know. You know, everybody just goes, imagine we don't have anybody leading, nobody's leading prayer, nobody's, everybody just do what they like. How does that sound? Someone says something that I love. He said, many countries look for development without starting with law and order. Law and order is the first principle. Order is the first thing God did in the Bible. Without order, God can't move. Order. Who is in charge? Some brethren one time, they said they wanted to have a WhatsApp group. They are listening to me now. Every time I use that example, you'll be looking down. Said they want to have a WhatsApp group. I said, fine. They said they want to be sharing the word of God. Okay, fine. I said, who is in charge? How are you? It's been a while. I saw you. You're not a Chelsea fan. Are you? How did I like to touch me? You are with me. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I wasn't greeting you. How would I greet you? You want me to miss the rapture? So, before I was interrupted by whoever, how did I get here? What's happening? So I said, so who will be in charge? They said, nobody, sir. We're just friends. Who told you the church has a show of friends? I said, no. It's only a monster that has many heads. Who is in charge? Who? Jesus had 12. He put one of them in charge. They were all taught the same thing. Right? He now chose one. He treated him specially. Sorry if I'm calling the pastors, you know, I'm so sorry. One day I'll call you too. I know I will call you. Because they have duties. He said, he spoke to Peter personally. And till today, no writer gave us the facts of what he saw Peter on. Nobody. Peter did not even talk about it. They said he appeared to Peter. He appeared to the 12. And Paul singled it out. He said he appeared to 12 and to Cephas. Why? He had a special role. You may not like the fact that he was shifty. But that's how God is. You too, you have areas that you are shifty. We are all dust. Hallelujah. That doesn't disqualify anybody. Is that very clear? No. I said, who is in charge? He said, no, nobody. We are just friends. We want to share. I said, Satan is going to enter your midst. Satan will enter your midst. Where there's strife, confusion, there's every evil work. Satan will enter your midst. Somebody has to be in charge. Who is in charge? When God removed Moses, or told him he wasn't going to lead the people, Moses said, okay, who will now lead your people? They had elders who said, who will be one person? One. He said, so that your people will not be like sheep without shepherd. Choose a man, he said, over this congregation. There must be a man over it. Some guys were telling me, they believe in multiple elders. I said, okay. Plurality of elders. They don't believe that anybody should lead a ministry. I said, it's all right. Usually they have not started any. So I said, so among those ones, would there be somebody who is now, he said, yeah, there will be one of them. Yeah, they will all choose one person who will now be over them. So who is that person? They said, well, we'll just call him supervising elder. Why are you a comedian? Call him senior pastor. Lead pastor. It's the same thing. You know, Brother Hagin says, some people, what they are not up on, they are down on. You don't be like that. So you watch what you see. So when my godfather, when he engaged me, I didn't know the answers. And I did not try to know what he knew. He was not born again. Somebody does not speak in tongues, does not lay hands on the sick. He's trying to explain to you how Isaiah 53 is not healing, and you are reading it. The guy was saying that he explained a whole lot about Isaiah 53. He said it's not about divine healing. So when he was done, I said, so what then is divine healing? You didn't say that one. You spent your time to tell us what it is not. So what is it? Now, so he hook. I said, how then did Jesus have such a peculiar, outstanding healing ministry? And he was teaching from the same books, but you couldn't find the things he preached. How did he, Jesus, was able to have an outstanding healing ministry reading from the same books we are explaining from? You left us unhealed. He taught from the place and people got healed. Oh God, you are the ignoramus here. No matter how many Greek materials you are using, you are preaching nonsense. The signs are not aligning with the Bible signs. If you like, tell me context, pretext. After you are done, please. What is the proof? Where is the fruit? When you are done, where is the fruit? Hallelujah. Where is the fruit? After you are done. So I told the brother, be careful. So my godfather, my then godfather, because it's late now, I left his house and I determined to grow. I know what I believe. I made up my mind to grow. So by the grace of God, years over years, I was now in the ministry. So I want to see him myself. You know, when you are ready. So I said, mentioned his name. I said, that question you asked me 6 years ago, it was in my mind for 6 years. I said, I'm ready to answer you now. He said, He said, did you read those books? I said, no. He said, why? I said, because there's nothing in them. Now I was bold. She began to talk. He said, in Yoruba, I said, about the pastor. Are you not a pastor? I said, maybe. they're really sounding solid. Now imagine if I'd read his books. When you are, what do you call it now? What's Fuya in English? When you are light and you are acting like you are heavy, you will come down. If you don't have the capacity, you don't have the capacity. There are things that your pastor can handle, you can't handle them. That's the truth. I couldn't handle it that day. But 6 whole years, I went back. 6 years. And I was able. Then my dad, you know, my dad was worried at the time. He said, one day, you know, when another earlier fights, he said, I'm going to look for the person influencing your life. And it was threatening. So when it was done, I was looking at him. He said, the person that is making you, you are going from place to place, just preaching. Is that what I gave back to you? And I said, you are making one big mistake. So what is it? The person you are looking for is before you. He said, what do you mean? I'm the one influencing others. He said, I said, He said, you mean you are the leader of the fellowship? I said, you did not know? You did not know? I'm the leader, the gang leader. So, you know, it was unsettled, so he didn't know how to change his strategy. Whether he will come after me. Because he had been coming after the leader has not stopped. So he just gave up. Hallelujah. So there are times like that. You're smart. Don't read. You know, somebody was telling me, he said, the gifts of the Spirit
The man is a Canadian. Said a theologian. Said if the gifts of healing were still in demonstration, how come, he told me, Epaphroditus was sick? How come Trophimus, Paul said, I left him Miletus sick? I said, I don't understand what you are saying. He said, yes. If it was still working, Paul would have healed Trophimus. I said, then we should question Jesus why John the Baptist was not raised from the dead. He said, uh-oh. I said, uh-uh. Even Jesus died by history, had died. I said, those grounds, when people argue against the move of the Spirit, they always say silly things. I mean, just, what are you talking about? Then he said, oh, I see your point. I said, I've not seen yours. You're talking to the wrong person. I'm not the person you will come and be talking, explaining 1 Corinthians 13:8. You are the one that does not understand the text. I said, the person you are accusing of being extreme, they understand that text more than you because the things of the Spirit are still flowing in their lives. You did the exegesis, so the Holy Ghost was looking at you. What kind of explanation is that? So I said yesterday, don't explain away this morning your backsliding and look for a theology that suits your condition. Don't look for a theology that suits your condition. Don't say, hey, you know, we used to laugh in those days. We stopped laughing. Who stopped you? Wasn't God? It wasn't God. You know, I'm not part of those kind of things. And you talk that, I'm not, you know, someone said, you see, all those things you are talking about, when you talk about the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, it's always in the Old Testament. Is it not in your Bible? It's in the Bible. Paul fell, but that's Paul as an unbeliever. And he wrote half of the New Testament. You are a believer, you have never fallen. You don't even understand what he has written. You know, people come up with strange things. Like my friend TJ said that in those days, someone was in our church. And they went for an outreach. They've gone for outreach. And this same person had handled the gifts of healings. Remember one time they were at, I think it was Bariga. There was someone right on the road who couldn't walk. And they made the person walk with the word of knowledge. Now the person, you know, out of offense, you now go and join another place. You now readjust your theology to prove your offense. The person was now saying, even though I spoke in tongues before, but I don't believe again. Even though my friend said, this is huge manipulation. Something you saw yourself. How? So you see, we must avoid things. When Paul writes, he says in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, quench not the Spirit. That's with verse 19, I guess. Quench not the Spirit. That means we can do things that can stifle the move of the Spirit. One of them, I've touched a little bit here, now, is walking in love and honor. You see, I'm going to tell you this. I was going to say it tomorrow morning. If we're going to see the move of God in our churches, we must be in one accord. You know, I asked you earlier on to greet one another. Paul actually said, with an holy kiss. I know you didn't use your mouth. Thank God for that. But you see, what they did then, was a holy kiss is a greeting of fondness where you show to the other person. Now I'll tell you the significance in a moment. Where you show to the other person that you are the same. When you find churches that operate in class, they are stifling the move of the Holy Ghost. They will be as dry as the desert. Class, where you separate the rich from those who are not rich yet. The great. So when Paul wrote to those churches, he knew there were Jews and Gentiles there, who by the reason of their up
upbringing. They're not meant to mingle together. So he said, greet one another with a holy kiss. That is, we are brethren. That's what he meant. So when I ask you to greet one another in the service, it's as important as prayer. It is as important as prayer. Don't do it casually. It's important. Go to people that may not even be in your class. It's not your fault that you're in your class. Maybe you are born that way. Maybe by the reason of what you do. By the reason of where you grew up from. It's not your fault. No one should beef you because you are rich. Okay? But when you come to the church, you look for people and let them know that we are brethren. I may not live where you live. I may have more degrees than you. I may be more prominent than you in the world. But I'm greeting you to show you. The holy kiss was a VIP treatment. A VIP treatment. I'm saying you are special to me. I'm saying you are important. That's why there's some people, of course, you have to know boundaries. Don't go beyond that. The people, you would deliberately hug them. Not your crushes. Oh. Brethren and brethren. Aha. Uh-huh. We have more than one crush. You have two, three. Amen. Diversity of demonstration. You're able to say, you know, we belong together. When Paul wrote Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 11:17, he said, I've noted that when you come together, it's not for the better. Paul says it's but for the worse. Why? Why was that happening? Because there was division. In the first chapter and second chapter, he talked about those who say, in the third chapter, those I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, so there was division. In the sixth chapter, some guys were already taking themselves to court and, you know, arguing over issues and going to the law court. In the eighth chapter, there were those who were eating food up out of to idols, who had a weak conscience according to Paul. So in 1 Corinthians 11, he said there were those who were separating themselves, the haves from the have not. Paul says, when you come together like that, and your attitude in the service is like that, you'll be worse. So when you notice that the things of the Spirit are dwindling in your life, watch how you treat the brethren. Is a way to watch how you treat the brethren. There's some of us today, we're comfortable. We have very good jobs or even good businesses. And God wants you to have them. That's not the problem. But then suddenly, we now roll. We roll with the class of people who we think are now on our level. So when we get to the church, we begin to act that way. Someone told me one day very boldly, said, I can't see the kind of people that are my category, born again. I said, what do you mean? He said, the kind of, you know, now, upwardly mobile. I said, who is taking you upward? I said, what a shame. The church is not for that. The church is the United Nations. Right? We come together as one. I was telling someone 2 days ago, last week, I said, for example, some guys will say something like, I saw that church, they were all just youths. Such despicable words. So, the entire ministry of Jesus, they're majorly teenagers. So, did that stop them from reaching the world? I'm asking a question. Look at Nigeria. Nigeria today, by statistics, The generation of those who are under 30 is about 71%. And so you look at your church, and that is not the percentage. Something is wrong. That is the world you are reaching. Then the same people who don't want the young people in the church, they think it's a young church. They are now complaining about drugs. That's just, you're contradicting yourself. We're reaching the young. And they're listening to us. In the name of Jesus. And we're raising them into apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Hallelujah. So wear your badge with pride. You are doing the Lord's work. You are doing what He has called you to do. Africa has the youngest population in the world. Population of young people in the world. That's a category of people we'll be finding in the churches. In a huge percentage. You know why some don't want young people? Because they won't be able to get the money. So you think, someone asked me, say, I'm looking at that my church. How am I going to survive? Most of them are school leavers. Most of them are just entering school. Pastor, I need real members. Correct members. Quality souls. There was one brother who told me they went for outreach. So they brought people to the church on Sunday. So when the pastor saw them, he was not happy. Some of them were, their clothes were not too well. Of course, when you bring people, you should change their clothes, okay? How can you be discipling somebody? You bring the person to church. You are all designers. You are the discipler. You are supposed to be the example. The person now comes after you with slippers. Are you going for a rehab? You have enough, give to your disciple. Is that okay? You have something in your house, you now say, let's believe God for clothes for you. The one on you, God. So the brother, they said they went out and did evangelism. People came in their numbers. The pastor was just not happy. Because those guys were not looking good. He said, brother, so and so. These souls did you want to bring? Did you go and bring souls? Say, sorry, pastor. Say, these are not quality souls. Say, I don't understand, pastor. They cannot support our vision. Change your location. There's a place you get quality souls that their salvation will matter to the kingdom of God. Mammon, na madman. Quality souls. Big fish. Catfish. Chelsea fan. They'll talk like that. You know, you wonder, in a nation where we already know a good number of people are unemployed, that is naturally the number that should be in the church. The church should be welcoming. Hallelujah. So when it says greet one another with a holy kiss, it means you must treat people specially. So don't greet people casually. Some of you want to say greet people, stay in your seat because you look around. Assuming there's a Aliko Dangote in front, you will come from the back to greet him with a holy kiss in front. So where are you going to? Leave me, usher, please. But you see one brother. How do you even know that brother will not be another Aliko Dangote? You don't know. If people know people's future, they'll be prostrating to babies. If God should show someone, say, the future, I just say, say, daddy, you'll be prostrating for babies. Someone say, why are you greeting me? Leave me, I know what I'm doing. Tell someone beside you, I respect you. I honor you. I treasure you. That's why I told you. When you are serving in the house of God, I told you, you go and listen to the teaching we did on greatness and money.
I said to you there, some people will belong to a department, maybe the ushering department or the operations that clean the church. They will now suggest to their HOD, sir, I just have this suggestion, you know, at my workspace, we have these guys that clean that place for us, you know, and I can even pay for it, you know, sir, I can pay for 2 years ahead, you know, 2 years ahead, 2 years ahead. No. Jesus did not send angels. He came by himself. The glory of service is that you are the one doing it. You are wealthy, you are old, but they find you in church cleaning. Remember I asked Reverend Chris Okote years back, I said, on these days, you have these people who come to the church. He said, yes. He said, that is Christian service. No matter who you are, you come there to clean the service, the church building. You come and clean. You're an usher. You're in the security. Don't say, I don't want to belong to that department. You know now, I don't want my staff to see me. Like God said, I don't want the angels to see me. You know, in the womb of Mary, how far, oh God, Yahweh in the maternity ward. No. We don't do stuff. We are Yahweh, Yahweh. God became a man. That is the example we have. I told someone, I said, to say Jesus was humble is because we don't have words. Humble. Creator. Humble. He now began to learn the scriptures written about him from the doctors of the law. They were explaining the scriptures to him. He was asking them questions. His cousin or second cousin, who is meant to be his forerunner, was not the one who ordained him. Paul said, let this man be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was God, he emptied himself, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, became obedient, even to the cross, the death of the cross. That's Christianity. If you need to introduce yourself to us that you're a pastor, that's a shame. That's a shame. Your conduct should have won our hearts. Then when we now found out, when we now found out that you are a pastor, we should know how pastors should be. Some people sometimes they are humble because they want to get something. There's a man who said he went for this conference. I shared that story to you, with you many times. And he got to the conference. So they gave him this apartment with somebody else. So it was an international conference. They had different communist organizations. So he belonged to an organization that had their different offices branched around the world. So when they were having the conference, he had this person in the same apartment who would come, clean the apartment. And so he felt the guy was just being very humble. You know, maybe was a lower keder. So he had made up his mind that he was going to help him after the conference. So when the conference was over, he said, hey, please come. Thank you for, you know, being so helpful throughout the conference. So he brought out his card and he said, I want to give you this card. Whatever help you need, you've helped me so much. Whatever help you need, please call me. Feel free to call me. The guy said, thank you. He brought out his own card. The same organization. What is Oga? Up. He said, ha! He said, he thought the man was serving to get something. No, that's not why we're doing it. That's who we are. He wasn't doing it to get something from you. He wasn't doing it. People say, the way to greatness is service. No, the service is the greatness. Some will say, you know, I don't know why the church is always starting late. Someone told me, the church is always starting late. I said, usually, I'm not in your church. Well, usually, it's because a few people
are doing the job of many. So they will start late. I said, you can correct it by joining. I said, do you belong to any department? They said, no. That's why they are starting late. If you join the department, you'll be doing what somebody does at that time that keeps them late. There's someone like that who told me, you know the story. And then we're using tapes, I think. And then Pastor Ayo will go and dub from Ikeja. What do you call that place again? Something, eh? Highways. I think you were the owner of that place. He'll go and dub it. So we have Believers Convention 2006 or so. And so people were waiting at Living World Media stand. Now you don't know Pastor Ayo was Living World Media. You don't know. Living World Media stand. So he will go overnight. While we finish the meeting, he will leave the meeting and go and be dubbing tapes. So you know those tapes is one to one to one. So he will be coming in the morning with the tapes. So I think this sister had booked for her tapes month before and she didn't get them. So she was already raking in the Holy Ghost. So people don't even, you don't even know where you are. How can you be here and you say, I don't care? Even if you are possessed, how will you be here and you're saying, I don't take nonsense, so. At least hide your carnality till we are done. Pretend to be born again. Pretend. I mean, how can they find you raising your voice? I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Even if you saw, I don't care. And you lift your hand and say, this is the house of the Lord. How? You cannot make the house of the Lord that way. So the sister was waiting. So I saw her saying, Ayo, where is my tape? So I walked there. I said, what's going on here? Thank you, sir. I had booked for these tapes. And I told him to get me the tapes. I said, Ngo, Ayo, what's happening? He said, I'm so sorry, sir. I'm sorry. I said, get her the tapes now. So he went, of course. They also know how to get it. That's for another day. He went somehow, moved around the earth looking for whom to devour. Then eventually got the tapes and came. Sister was so happy. She collected it. She counted it. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I said, don't go. Don't go yet. You see, the reason why it was late was because they need more hands. And the burden on your heart that you wear is to fulfill that mandate. So you will now join that department. You know, oftentimes people like that will never complain again. When you are involved in how they plan a program, you are receiving, you are watching others. As people are lifting their hands, you are thinking, okay, this one will be fixed, as that one will be fixed. You will know what it means. When you now join, all your criticisms will rapture. When you start listening, someone say, a pastor is a shepherd with a shepherd's heart, always tender, always washing it, always loving. A pastor is an example that he shines a light. The outflow of the life of Zoe coming forth from the effigies of the grace of God. Come and disciple. Let me give you a disciple that is still smoking hemp. All this your yow. Pastor. Sorry, sir. I didn't know you were coming. Oh, that your shepherd's heart becomes shepherd's kidney. The mouth is good to make vegetable. People can talk. Remember those days you pray and pray. for the authority to be full. He said, I see the authority on full. You go and arrange the place. He'll be looking at the time, looking at the seats. There's no correlation. That's how I went to follow up one brother. He ran under the bed. And the girl in his room was saying, he's not here. I said, ah, I said, he's not here. I said, ah, how about that? Ah, is it my first? He's not here. Ha! Shepherd's hat. On Facebook. Come out of Facebook. Let's see your face. When I got my brother to the fellowship, I went to grab him. He said, I'm coming. I said, no, that won't happen again. There's nothing. I'm coming soon. We are going together. We are appearing together in glory. I waited. He went inside. He had everything. I said, I'm coming, sir. I said, me, I'm waiting. So, I took him to the fellowship together. We entered. We used to be 2.5. So it made 3.5. You know, on those days, it's like the anointing on your life will increase. One single person will say, hallelujah. God has called us in this ministry. Yes, we have a vision. So as I was preaching, he now stood up. Eh? From the pulpit, I ran after him. Where he went? He said, I want to go and wee-wee. Let's go together. Ah. You will not spoil my joy. We went there together. I said, no, 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 my guy. Ah. Today, we must be 3.5 today. Maybe tomorrow you may not come again, but today you have come and you will remain. Now sit down. So, hallelujah. So, we must achieve one accord. Our conduct before the services, if we're looking at the move of the Spirit in the church, is connected to how we relate with and treat other believers. That conversation you had in your room or in the car, it will eventually have an effect on church. That conversation you had. That's why Paul said, rather than come together for the better, you grew worse. And why? Because they were having classes in the services. They were having conversations. There are those that no matter the sermons you give, they will remain gossips. No matter how you say it. And you know, there are things people say that come back to haunt them. I won't forget this vision. 2 years or so, a woman came to see me and she believed God had called her to the ministry. So she was having challenges with her home and all that. And then as she was speaking, she had just started the conversation. I then saw a vision. Then I said to her, did you attend this university? You know, she was so carnal, she just thought I was guessing, or maybe I would say, yes, now. Were you in the school too? I mean, very carnal. I said, no. She said, you must have had friends who went there. Why are you so carnal? You went to see a man of God. A man of God. Am I not a man of God? You are asking him whether he went to that school. How did he know? Are you so daft? So I said, look, there was a day. She didn't even know. I said, there was a day you were in your room. And you and some other people, 3 of them. And you were having this conversation. When I got to that point, she said, he's seeing something. He said, and one of them was a Muslim. She wore something on her face. And you were talking, on her head, sorry. And you were speaking down on pastors. She now stood and said, that was my third year. I said, but you were in the ESCO now. He said, yes. I thought I was just pouring my heart. Ah, you have overpoured it, oh. I said, what you said that day is what's happening to you. You will not know the connection between what happened in that house and the service. They are related. Why do you think the Bible gives us the stories of people? That she was speaking and speaking from home. Why did we have that kind of story? So that you will know the church services starts at home. What you say. When you are getting people to church, don't say, if you are late today, I don't care. Don't come and waste my time. No. Even after you've corrected those in your family, say, we're going to have a great time today in church. The Holy Ghost will move. We'll be blessed. We'll receive miracles. We'll receive revelation knowledge. How to prepare for church service. So don't think that those conversations are disconnected. To receive on Sunday starts that same Sunday before the next Sunday. I remember, I'll share this story for a round of today. I went for a camp meeting. That should be 28 years ago. I say 18. The man of God had said about that camp meeting. So I was praying, preparing, fasting. But somehow, I didn't get to the camp meeting on the first day. Not that I couldn't. I was not able to. Well, I didn't want to, sorry. I was not able to. So, I thought I'd missed out the first day. Because I don't miss meetings. So I went there. And I put money to buy tapes. And the newly released books. Now, because we registered for that camp meeting, myself and my friends, Pastor Larry, Amuson, Pastor Tunji Ogule, with two of them particularly, we're going to have the meeting together. Both of them are going to be the Lord now. And so I paid for them in anticipation that when they come with their own money, I would use it to feed. So, we're going for the conference. The bus I entered took us to the border. Far from the village. So I missed it. So I had the opportunity to use the money that put down for the tapes and the books to take an easy transportation means to get to the meeting. I said, no, this money is for tapes. This one is for books. This is the offering. So I began to walk from that border town to, hours of walking in the sun. And I wasn't complaining. I was praying. And I said, Lord, in that conference in the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost will minister to me by the power of the Holy Ghost. I didn't even know what was going to happen that night. Unknown to me, the meeting didn't start the day before. They had just had music or something. They were going to start that evening. I did not know. So I began to speak. As I got on the conference ground, the pastor had not even come up at all. That was the first time. So as I got in, I had my bags. So as we got in, a brother was singing the song, Jesus, I love you so. The song was singing. And as that was going on, the man of God said, there's someone here, and he mentioned the name of our fellowship, our ministry. He said, you're coming from this side of Lagos. Ha. Now there was another brother who was from Ghana. Where are you from, sir? From Ghana. I said, the man of God is talking about me. He said, go, drop your bag and go. I was the first person he ministered to. So as I got on, he began, the two of us showed up. I kind of felt, this one is not in our fellowship now. So I was like, our fellowship has a name, this one. Man of God says, it's not you, it's you. And he began to minister to me. I was the first person. Why? Because I was prepared 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks before. I was listening to Don Moen just before I came up. He said the first sign of revival, Don Moen, is hunger. That's the first sign of the move of God anywhere. I'll close here. The first sign of the move of God anywhere in the world is hunger. And there is no hunger that has a season. You must always be hungry. To receive requires hunger. You must want it. Not give you. God will not give you what you don't want. For sign of the move of God. That's the first sign. Of the move of God is hunger. I believe tonight there's going to be a move of God. Do you believe that? I believe tonight, tomorrow morning. I believe in your churches tomorrow, those of you who are holding services. There's going to be a move of God. I believe in the midweek service, there's going to be a move of God. I believe next week there's going to be a move of God. I believe throughout this year there's going to be a move of God. I believe 2024 in all our churches there's going to be a move of God. I believe it. 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 In your cell groups and fellowships, your campus fellowships, there's going to be a move of God. Something that has never happened before. A fresh move of God's Spirit is brewing with hunger. In our hearts, we want more. Our best days are not behind us. Our best days are not behind us. Our best days are ahead of us. We want more. Lift your hands. More.